Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Wednesday, January 18th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to do my very best to keep a positive tone in today's episode, but it's rather difficult when you cover politics every single day and you read the headlines every single day and you read articles and you see the malevolent machinations of powerful people who are without question, sociopaths. We are led by sociopaths. We are led by people who have zero empathy for the lives of those they govern over. We are governed by people who, without question, have no regard for your life, my life, the lives of our children. They honestly have no regard for their own lives or the lives of their children because they throw their children out into the pandemic. They throw themselves into the pandemic and insist that we are maskless. They insist that no one takes a vaccine, that no one social distances. If you want specifics, yesterday, the Florida governor, Ronald Dion DeSantis, who supervised the torture of human beings at Guantanamo Bay, announced an initiative to ban any COVID mask requirements in the state of Florida. Any. He specifically drilled down and said he's banning any mask requirements to attend school. These are the caliber of people who are leading us. Depraved human beings. You would expect a person who could smile and laugh at detainees being tortured, getting joy out of that. You would expect that person to actually continue to get joy out of seeing more people die of the pandemic, needlessly so. Ronald DeSantis has been one of the leading voices exacerbating COVID-19. And he's poised to become the next president of the United States if Joe Biden doesn't step up and do a little bit more. That's where we are. We are led by complete ghouls who have no regard for human life. And more so than the individuals, we have the perfect system, this capitalistic system that we are all scratching and surviving in. It's perfectly designed to ensure that the maximum number of people die from this pandemic because it was perfectly designed to make sure the maximum number of people lived hand to mouth, check to check, barely surviving. I mean, the system was broken long before COVID-19. And let me correct myself. The system's not broken. It's broken. It's working exactly how the richest people in the world need it to work. You know, one of the things entertainment does is like movies and Hollywood and television shows. It gives us the sensation that we are more than just a cog in a machine for a handful of people at the top to benefit from. And they don't actually get joy out of their benefit until they grind those cogs down to a pulp until you have nothing left. And then if you become homeless, then, well, they'll send in the police to destroy your tents and throw away whatever belongings you have. Check the people in Los Angeles, the homeless, the unhoused people in Los Angeles, hell, across the country, New York, Florida. Oh my God, have you seen the homelessness in Florida? I mean, we have lived in a system for so long, this system that is invisible. It surrounds us. We are immersed in it. We can hardly escape it. If at all, we have ideas of how the world could be better. We have ideas of how even more wealth could be generated if more people had the opportunity to participate in that wealth. But because this system is perfectly designed to make sure that you feel like you're going somewhere, you feel like you are an important, you feel like the main character in the movie. When in reality, all of us are suffering in a system that has no other desire than to exploit us. And I'm not even just talking about capitalism. I'm literally talking about every aspect of this society, from social media to capitalism, from the healthcare crisis that we're having, the pandemic. Just, I mean, we are literally being told to just deal with it. Matter of fact, it's worse than that. They're not just telling, I would rather them say, hey, just deal with COVID-19. But what they're allowing, the powerful, let's get specific. What the Biden administration and the CDC is currently allowing is an onslaught of misinformation from people who want you to believe that the pandemic doesn't exist, and that the real problem is that people took a vaccine. Like, this is the prevailing conversation all around the country. Because why? Well, the political leaders and the economic leaders of this country simply refuse to go back to anything that would hurt the profit margins of the rich. I mean, forget about a shutdown. And here's the sociopathy. Okay, we don't shut down, but can you wear a mask? It is so bad that if you wear a mask in public now, this happened to me literally. I went into a store with a mask on, and I was asked why I was wearing a mask. That's where we are. The prevailing conversation, the momentum is behind the anti-vax morons. It is behind the people who are spewing misinformation. The momentum is behind the influencers who are not only spreading misinformation, but are encouraging a way of thinking that is far more than detrimental to society. I mean, think of the top influencers on this planet. Think of the richest people who are elevated above and beyond reproach. I mean, they can't even be questioned. Think of the Elon Musk. If not for Romania, the Andrew Tates would be free to spread. But it doesn't even matter that he has been arrested. He has protesters in Greece marching on his behalf. The cult of personality, the monetization of the cult of personality has been one of the most detrimental things to human civilization. We elevate people like Joe Rogan. He is a god to some of these people. We elevate the type of people. I mean, listen, the influencers that are coming on the stage now and being amplified by this right wing algorithm, that they're women who promote a lesser value of women. Right. They're women who promote patriarchy, but they go beyond that. And they literally are advocating for the idea that women should be subservient to men, that women should go back to a time when they were in the kitchen barefoot and naked, serving and making sure that their men had a good meal at home. That's what a lot of the top influencers are going with these days. And the reason they rise and foment to the top is because they know one thing about humanity. They know humanity's Achilles heel. Humanity's Achilles heel is our ability to project our own problems onto others through bigotry and hatred. Like, we get a physical sensation, I don't know what endorphins fire off in our brains, but there is a sensation that people enjoy when they are given the opportunity to ignore what they've done wrong, to ignore their personal shortcomings, to ignore their hand in their life and blame it on somebody else. Let me ask migrants, ask immigrants, ask asylum seekers. I mean, everybody loves to dump on that group. You even have people in the Black community like Tariq Nasheed and my friend, former friend, but Yvette Carnell. They absolutely love dumping on immigrants. Why? Because they know that is their meal ticket. That is their meal ticket to growing an audience, because that is humanity's Achilles heel. They know full well that if they can spark the hatred or the anger or the resentment gene in their potential followers, then they will be able to cash in on those followers for the rest of their lives. Fox News is literally built off of that model. Everything that comes out of Fox News is literally built on triggering the resentment in their white audience towards everybody. Everybody. And they're billionaires because of it. Multimillionaires because of it. And it is our inability to see how the monetization of resentment is literally driving us to complete destruction. The fact that we can't see that. I mean, well, it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. It's difficult to see that when you are so engaged in your life and you're mad and you don't quite know who you should be mad at or why you should be mad. You just know that you're angry because your life has not worked out the way that you wanted it to work out. And then here comes somebody with a large, financed, properly capitalized platform to tell you, here's who you should hate and here's why you should hate them. Every week it changes. 1 week, and by week, I mean every season. There's ebbs and flows to this. Like right now, the prevailing people that you are being told to hate by everyone is the trans community, the LGBTQIA community. Black folks, we stay on the list of people that this country should hate. I mean, that has been since the country, before the country was founded, 1619. Black people have forever stayed on the list of who can be easily vilified for political clout, for financial gain. And what's happening now? Oh, they're not done with finding people to hate. What's happening now is a resentment being built up towards anyone who proactively tried to protect themselves in this pandemic by getting a vaccine, by wearing masks, by socially distancing, and by quarantining. Anybody who took this pandemic seriously, there is a fever growing amongst all of the anti-vax idiots. And I want to emphasize this. Those people who absolutely reject the science of vaccinations and are happy to buy in to the pseudoscience that is getting people killed by the hundreds daily. I mean, 500 people are dying a day in this country, and you have intentionally obtuse, and sometimes they're just genuinely stupid, people who are buying into and spreading this misinformation about COVID-19, but they don't stop there. They are angrily going after anyone who actually took this thing seriously and tried to save the lives of their family and their friends. I mean, look at Robert Kennedy Jr., one of the richest people born into one of the richest families, the Kennedy family. Born into power, the son of Robert Kennedy Sr., the attorney general for John Fitzgerald Kennedy, JFK. He is one of the leading spreaders of misinformation around COVID-19, and he has galvanized a movement of millions of people who are so committed to their ignorance that they're willing to die. How many of them are dead now? I wish we could really get a tally of all the people who are dead because they took the advice of people like Joe Rogan, Robert Kennedy Jr., now Elon Musk dogpiling on amplifying. Yesterday, Elon Musk took to Twitter to amplify the message of Robert Kennedy Jr., who has been disowned by his own family because of the derangement that he has about spreading misinformation on COVID-19, insisting that people don't get the vaccine. Creating a cult of personality of virulent and almost violent maniacs who are taken to the streets. They're taken to their communities. They're forget about social media. They've been swarming social media like a plague, pun intended. But this is what's prevailing right now. Common sense is not prevailing in this country, on this planet. Decency is not prevailing on this planet. Cruelty is winning. Sociopathy, the complete and utter disregard for human life, is winning. Male supremacy, patriarchy, is winning so much that you have women influencers now going out there and doing more efficiently the work of patriarchy than men ever could. There are incentives to this. Their incentives is this does not have to be how it is. It is not the case that humanity is locked into this and this is all we could be. No, there are incentives to this, financial incentives, because our system is so perfectly designed to destroy itself that the rewards go to the people who escalate that destruction, who accelerate, rather, that destruction. The financial rewards, the compensation, the checks, the bag goes to people who spread bigotry, intolerance, anti-science misinformation. Those are the people who are gaining the rewards. The road to success in this country, on this planet, quite frankly, is anyone who is willing to spread misinformation for top dollar. It is so twisted that even Russia, in the invasion of Ukraine, they have bought into their own. I was listening to a press conference by Vladimir Putin, and he said that the purpose of the, quote, special military operation in Ukraine is to end the war and protect the people living in those territories. I mean, can you not just see the glaring hypocrisy coming from a man who started the war, saying that the mission is to end the war? Now, we should expect that from someone like Vladimir Putin in the same way we expected that from George W. Bush when he invaded Iraq. This is what barbaric leaders of empires do, and aspiring empires. But that message being regurgitated millions of times over across social media, across the internet, in papers and articles, in podcasts. Why? Because there is a financial gain. There is a financial incentive to be gained by people who spread misinformation. We are living in the era of monetized misinformation and monetized resentment. And of course, that type of system is bound to implode. We have been living in an era of misinformation around science for a long time because the oil industries, when they realized the science was pointing towards climate change, they hired their own scientists to create a 3%. Oh, I think it's only 3% of scientists who disagree with the overwhelming consensus of scientists, the 97% consensus of scientists. But that 3% was monetized, financed by the oil industry. And because I'm not going to totally blame the body politic, the citizenry, and I'm not going to totally absolve us. Part of me understands why this is so easily accomplished. It's accomplished so easily because they have us in a rat race, and most of us don't even realize it. We are so locked in simply trying to survive this system that we barely have the time or ever the opportunity to actually be well-informed citizens. And then when we do get informed, it's misinformed, misinformation. If ever humanity needed an intervention, I would gladly welcome the aliens right now. I would gladly welcome Deus Ex Machina, something, anything, to actually help us change the direction that we're headed in, because we're not simply talking about, you know, political points. We're talking about survivability. Read an article yesterday. I guess, you know, I'm going to inform you the news by just telling you what I read, but I'm not going to go through the painstaking everyday thing that I do of trying to break them down. I just want to tell you about what I read so you could get the feeling that I get when I read the news. They said the average fish, a person who eats an average fish out of one of America's lakes, this is how bad our environment is the same as a person drinking contaminated water for a month. We can't even fish. What's that saying? Give a person a fish, they'll come back for more. Tell them, teach them how to fish, they'll eat for the rest of their life. Well, we can't even go and fish now. And this is because we have intentionally, the powerful on this planet have intentionally driven us to this place, and the tools that they use, misinformation and resentment. Of course, fear is a part of both of those things, but I think at the core of it, it is resentment and misinformation. and monetizing both of those things. And then finding people incredulous enough to proudly, I mean, we are living, think about the influencers in conservative circles. Think about the people like the Candace Owens, the Ben Shapiros, the Steven Crowders, the Joe Rogans, who proudly build their entire platform off of lying to you. And they stand there as if they are the epitome of piousness, righteousness, morality, but they are literally lying to you while the earth burns. While the intolerant arm up and kill. While hundreds, 500, quite frankly, a day are dying from COVID-19, you have the leading influencers of conservatism more than happy to stand up there and lie to you. That's because they know their check is going to be pretty fat.
Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Let's continue the conversation. The conversation about this system being so perfectly structured to destroy itself and us. We are at the brink. We are. Let's be real about it. Society is at the brink. I feel the future screaming at us because it's not set yet. And the future generations that could exist, they're screaming at us right now in 2023 to get this right, to do something about this. We are not predestined to destroy ourselves. It feels that way sometimes. I'm not going to lie. But I refuse to accept the fact that humanity is incapable of not self-destructing. What a cruel and disappointment experiment in consciousness it would be if the sum total and result of what I consider to be the apotheosis of the universe, human consciousness, is quite frankly, by far, the greatest achievement in this universe. The ability to turn and look and observe and study and analyze and just have self-awareness. What a gem. You cannot convince me that the end result of consciousness is a system so self-destructive that it would destroy its own planet, kill its own children through a pandemic, through gun violence, exploit billions of lives for the gain of individuals, the smallest percentage of humanity getting all of the rewards, and a society that allows intolerance and hatred and bigotry to receive the top rewards. Rush Limbaugh literally made hundreds of millions of dollars, flew in all of his private jets, got all the drugs he ever wanted. I mean, he just lived the best life he could possibly live. And just before he died, he was rewarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the top award any citizen, non-military citizen, could achieve in this country. You mean to tell me that this is the best that humanity can do? This is the best that sentient, sapient beings can do? No, I refuse to accept that. I believe that we can be better. We must be better if we're going to survive. No one thinks that they're going to be the last generation. No one thinks that they are going to be the generation that is the tipping point, like the generation that is literally the cause of the destruction of our species. But when Earth is gone, what are we going to do? When our food supply is gone, what are we going to do when we don't even have the ability to fish in our local lakes without getting the equivalent of 1 month's worth of toxic water, drinking water? We have to do better. We must do better. And damn it, we're going to do better. I don't know exactly how we're going to break out of this current race to the bottom that we're in. But I don't know. I wish I did. If I did, I would tell you. But I know something's got to change. Some people who are former comrades of mine feel like that change has to be the total destruction of the United States of America. I'm not waiting on that, nor do I want that, because we're not going to survive that. Humanity's not. If you're waiting on a destructive war to end the system in order to hope that something rises from the ashes like a phoenix to give us something better, let me tell you, the most fictional part of Star Trek isn't warp speed. It's the belief that humanity recovers from an all-out nuclear war. That's the biggest fiction in Star Trek. There is a solution that must be found by the people of good faith. I think one of those solutions is that we have to find each other. And we now have to find each other outside of social media, which was a very useful tool for us to connect and find each other. But now, because social media has been cornered by the far right in this, on this planet, not in this country, but on this planet, we have to find other means of connecting with the people of good faith who simply understand that all we have to do is to reject the intolerance, the ignorance, and the greed of this current system, and to do so politically, to do so economically, to do so socially. In every aspect of society, there has to be somewhat of a revival of humanity. There must be a revival of dignity and humanity and tolerance and science. I would really love to do a nationwide tour, if it wasn't in the middle of a pandemic, but hell, we might have to bite the bullet and do a nationwide tour where we have a revival for dignity, humanity, and science. And just the people of good faith. People who will acknowledge the truth even when it is inconvenient for them. People who would share power when they could abuse power to maintain it. People who see other human beings as human beings rather than something to be exploited, abused, ground to a pulp in this system, by this system. But a movement of that type would be a threat to the system. A movement of that type would be an existential threat to the richest people on this planet, to those who monetize bigotry, those who monetize misinformation. There are people who are simply waiting on their paychecks to come in from telling lies about COVID-19 that get people killed. Those are the people who are the enemies of good faith. They're the enemies of humanity. They are the enemies of the future, because we do not have a future so long as society remains underneath the control of these sociopaths. These people who love and revel in their lies. I mean, they giggle when they get to make everything about being woke, because they know it is the perfect tool for them to incite the resentment inside of their white supporters. They go back into their offices and they giggle at how effective it is, and they cash in on it, and they use it to go all the way to the White House, all the way to the state houses in Florida and across this country. Those are the people that we're fighting against. And it's not just, I don't want you to be mistaken, it's not just conservatives by any measure. Check my receipts and all my catalogs. You understand that I level the same level of criticism as is appropriate against the Democrats, because they are a part of the system too, just as much as any Republican. But when it comes down to where we are, where we, what's prevailing right now, the fascist movement that is brewing, the people, I mean, the centralized messaging that has become the rallying cry of the fascists is anti-LGBTQIA, anti-black, anti-science, anti-vaccine, and pro-Russia. More specifically, pro-Vladimir Putin. Those are the powers that be right now that is driving the prevailing movement in this country. It's not a movement for justice right now. No, the powerful, including the Democrats, effectively neutralized the movement for justice, broke us back up into our individual silos. Sure, they're individual groups that are engaging in fights for justice. Yes, but the cohesive movement that started to form around 2020 in the aftermath of George Floyd, man, they scuttled that thing so easily and so effectively, infiltrated the left, neutralized the organizing power, the cohesiveness. Of course, there are individual groups that are doing amazing work in terms of leftism and anti-capitalism and anti-fascism. But the cohesiveness was brilliantly destroyed by the infiltration of the online left. And those people who did the infiltration are still reaping the rewards today. Look at the Glenn Greenwalds. Look at the Jimmy Dores. Look at that entire faction. They're still being rewarded because the incentives are in protecting this system at all costs, even at the cost of lives, even at the cost of justice. I mean, forget about justice. They're willing to kill you from a pandemic that you didn't have to die from. Then, of course, they don't care about justice. But that's where the rewards and the spoils are right now. I can't lie and tell you that I'm particularly encouraged today, but I am resolved, committed, determined not to buy, at a minimum, not to buy into the idea that the best that humanity can do, the best that these brilliant and unfathomably rare instances of consciousness, that the best that we can do is this broken system that we have now. The devil is a liar. There's so much more for humanity than the repugnant reality of our present. Patrons, stay tuned. Everyone else, I'll see you tomorrow.